Greetings from Tony Broom Ministries, presenting the old-time preaching from God's Word. Here's a message entitled, Sickness and Health in Proverbs.
All of us are familiar with healing. We think of healing if you come and you have a prayer request and someone prays for you, or you go to the doctor and you get a good report. And whatever way God chooses to heal, there's all kind of ways. And doctors and nurses, some people think that we're against doctors and nurses. No, we're not against anything that helps anybody. The only thing I'm against is a big bill they send you. I kind of have a problem with that sometimes. Doctors and nurses are wonderful people. They are used to help people, treat people. When I think of healing, I usually think of elders praying or somebody praying with someone else, but that's not the only way. A number of verses in the book of Proverbs talk about our bodies and lives in reference to disease and healing. So we're talking about sickness and healing in Proverbs. Think of the letter W. In no particular order, we can find things like works, words, wisdom, wounds, worry, you don't want to do too much of that, and wellness. We'll start in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. This says to me that you just read this and don't think too much about it, but just keeping the commandments of God, just doing what God says. And when he says, my son, you can say the law of your father and mother, but it's God talking to us. God is saying, forget not my law. Remember what I have told you in my word. Keep my commandments, length of days, and long life. You say, what's the difference in that? Well, length of days, it could be the same thing, but length of days. You ever had days that you say, where in the world did this day go? I got up and I got my newspaper and I got my cup of coffee and then I got my sandwich and lo and behold, it was bedtime. Where in the world did this day go? And then you say, I know what's wrong. I'm just getting older. Time just gets away from me. Well, do you know that when you observe God's word and you pay attention to what God is telling you, that he will actually lengthen your days. Your days will have purpose. Amen. When you face pandemic and what we're going through and all these times that we're facing, seems like if you didn't know any different, the only thing that keeps you from going crazy is you can go to church or you can go somewhere and get some groceries, no matter how high the prices is, or you can go there and get some groceries if you can afford to, and you can have a little bit of sanity about yourself, but otherwise it seems like all the days look like the same. When I used to work at the radio station, we had days was always different. I knew what the day was because we had to log in the day. When you quit working like that, every day seems to be the same. I know that you can bear me witness, you retired, it seemed like all the days were the same. But every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. He will give you length of days and long life. Now, does that mean that everybody who is a Bible person automatically lives long? No, it doesn't. Some people are snuffed out in the maturity and in the infancy of their life. But generally speaking, and this is God's word. God's word said, if you pay attention to my law and do what's right, I will add to your days and lengthen your days in long life and peace. Who could not stand some peace? I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Peace he will give to you. They will add to you this. And then chapter 3, verse 5, Brother Chuck read this last week. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. When we acknowledge him and we put him first in our life, he will direct our paths. When we turn to our own way, we cannot help but be succumbed to disease and all these things and bad things that happen when we go our own way. But we trust in the Lord with all our heart and we do not lean to our own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Whether you go to the grocery store, whether you go to church, whether you go to try to find something, in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. I can have this thing figured out. I know what I'm doing. He says, don't be that way. Do not be big and conceited in your own self. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's some things that will happen. If you fear the Lord, you respect the Lord, you honor the Lord, you fear Him, and you depart from evil. Now, this is no great revelation. It is great revelation, but it's not great revelation in the sense that people can just look at that and say, well, I've read that all my life. I've seen that all my life. Yeah, but look at the benefits that it gives us just by doing what's right. Do you know that healing comes in our bodies and our lives just by doing what's right? Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll do your navel good. Everybody's got one of them, I think. Came in this world, hooked up to your mom with this cord, and they had to cut that cord. You left with your little navel. But you know what the navel represents? It's the central core, the central part of a person. Your navel. I have to jump up like this so you can see my navel. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want you to see my navel. Just see my hand. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. It'll do your bones good. When you do what's right by God's word, it will do your bones good. So you can say, Lord, thank you for doing my bones good today. You know, the ankle bone connected to the leg bone and all this. The Lord does your bones good. He does your navel good. He does your belly good. He does you good all over. Verse 16, length of days is in her hand, wisdom, right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, well, that's me a lot of times, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. What that means is God doesn't say, Tony, I can't believe you're asking me for wisdom. You crazy thing. I just know you have better sense than that. God's not going to treat me like that. He's going to say, son, I'm glad you asked my advice. I'm glad you asked me for wisdom. Amen. Wisdom. Proverbs is loaded with wisdom. How in the world can we keep on going in darkness and blindness in our nation and even in our churches when we got a whole Bible and especially Proverbs is loaded with wisdom? Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. You got it made either way. Both hands you're blessed. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You see a lot of sadness in our world today. There's not too much happiness. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Having a change in my behavior, happiness is the Lord. Happiness. You want to be happy? You retain wisdom. Get a hold of wisdom. Pluck some of that fruit from that tree of life and wisdom that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Just by doing what God's word says, it'll make you happy. Verse 21 and 22, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. You're keeping a hold now of wisdom and sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion is what intelligence. It helps you to make right decisions. You don't think our nation is void of wisdom and discretion. Just the fact that they make some of the dumbest and stupidest decisions that you could ever come up with shows you that they're not going by discretion. They're not going by wisdom. Amen. And that's why sickness and disease and sin and all this degradation and deprivation and desecration, every kind of dead word you want to use, I mean, it's all there. All this is happening because we're turning further and further away from God and His Word instead of getting closer and closer to God and His Word. Let not them depart from thy eyes. Look at them. You have to keep your eyes focused on things that are good and right, because if you don't, there's so many things around that you look at and so many things that you see that will discourage you, that will hurt your heart, that will take you away from the things of God. You have to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Just like Peter, when he started seeing the winds boisterous and all those things, even though the Lord was out there in front of him, he got his eyes off of the Lord and began to sink.
Amen.
That's what happens to us when we get our eyes off the things that are good. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul. That's your spiritual part, your soul. It'll give life to your soul and grace to your neck. Your neck is your spiritual part. Lord, thank you for my neck.
Amen.
I don't care how many times I say, I'm the head of my house. My wife said, yeah, I'm the neck to turn the head too. Thank you, Lord, for my neck. My neck's got some good things in it. My neck's got a voice box. Thank you for touching my voice box. Sometimes I need the Lord to touch my voice box. Got that neck in there. The neck's got those carotid arteries that go up in here. You don't think them things that hurt you if they go wrong?
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for my neck. You're giving grace to my neck.
Amen.
Chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Just by receiving God's word. Lord, I receive your word today. I thank you for that word. I thank you for what it says to me. I thank you that it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing my days. I thank you that you're blessing me in my coming in. I thank you that you're blessing me in my going out. I thank you that you're adding years to my life. I thank you that you're blessing my days. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just by going by God's word. Verse 13, take fast hold of instructions. You know what that means? That means put a gotcha hold on it. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Don't turn loose. Keep her, for she is thy life. Life speaks of healing. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that they might have life. That they might have it more abundantly. Jesus comes to give us life. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listen to what I have to say. Incline your ear. Lean your ear down. Boys and girls and brothers and sisters, God is saying, sons and daughters, lean your ear and let me hear you talking to me. And I want to talk to you. Listen to what I have to say. Incline your ear to the word of God. To my sayings, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's word speaks of healing to all of our flesh. God's word will keep you out of the hospital. It'll keep you out of the doctor's office. It'll keep you out of the healing line. Thank God there's a healing line, but if you don't have to go in it, that's fine. God's word will keep you. Incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life unto those that find them. Find, that word is matzah. It's a common word for finding, attaining to, find. They are those that find them. They are life for those who find them. It's not that God's word is lost. God's word is right there. God's word is on your shelf. It's on your coffee table. It's on the iPad, it's on the screen, it's on the tablet, it's on the computer, it's on the CDs and DVDs, it's on the computer chips, it's on all kind of things. God's word is there, but many people are not finding them. The word of God in the book form is just lying there collecting dust because people are not finding words, and therefore they're not having life because the word is going unheeded.
Yep.
Those who find them, they're right there for you to discover. They have life and their health to all your flesh. God's word speaks health and healing to your body all over. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is important. Whether you're talking about the heart of man that believes to righteousness, whether you're talking about the myocardial, the heart pump, 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 that pumps the blood throughout your body. And God is speaking to the heart today. He said, I want to touch your heart. I want to touch your physical heart. I want to touch your spiritual heart. I want to touch your heart so that these valves and these arteries and so these ventricles and all in our heart can be touched and blessed. They can be life to your flesh. They can be health throughout your body. You keep your heart with all diligence. That's that common word, shamar, the word to keep, to guard your heart. Don't let the devil have your heart. Don't let just anybody have your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is very important to your physical body, and your spiritual heart is very important to your soul. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart, the mouth confession is made to salvation. Your heart, the love of God is spread abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. The heart is very important in our being. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The virtuous woman, the woman of strength, the woman of integrity, the woman of power. It's not like the Wooly Julie. You know the Wooly Julie, that's just a name I made up, but the Wooly Julie is this woman on TV who's these wrestlers and boxers. They can knock you out. They got unnatural muscles that look like a man. That's not what the kind of strength he's talking about. He's talking about the virtuous woman that's strong in her heart, in her spirit. It's a whole lot better to be strong in your heart and your spirit than you can be a woman who picks up 200 pounds. It's very unnatural to be that way. And I know that Solomon said it's a better thing to dwell on the corner of the housetop than with a contentious woman, especially if she's a professional wrestler. You don't want to be around too many like that. I understand that. But this virtuous woman, she's a crown to her husband. It's healing. But she that makes ashamed is like rottenness in his bones. It will rotten your bones. It will make you ashamed. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I come out of my bedroom this morning, just had brushed my teeth and was praising the Lord and worshiping God, and the lady's on the TV, and I won't refer to what color she is, but she says it's just bad to have been a child in the 60s and talking about this race. And I told my wife the only race she's got is that what race in her convoluted head. They always talk about race. Why don't you race somewhere and be quiet? That's a race I'd like to see you do. All this racing. Words. So what I told you that for was I was just praising the Lord, and all of a sudden I'm responding to the television. Lord, help me. This piercing words. They say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yes, they will too. But you know what, though? Think of that little motto, the object of that motto was to teach us that sticks and stones may break my bones, but I am not going to let words hurt me. That's what it was meant to tell us. So don't make fun of somebody who says that, because what that meant was to teach us that, look, we may not can help people from hitting us with sticks and stones and trying to break our bones, but we can help. We may not can help what people say, but we can help how we take it. I am not going to let that offend me. I am not going to let her get the best of me. I am not going to let the devil have the victory over me.
Amen. That's it.
Words will not hurt me, not because they can't, it's because I'm not going to let them, because Jesus has given me power over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. It will speak health. Those who speak wise words to you will bring health to your flesh. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You hear all this heavy news and bad news, and everything is bad. The president's bad. The government's bad. Your mother-in-law's bad. The church is bad. Everything's bad. You get your medicine, you try to take that, and it tastes bad. Everything's bad. Look up in the freezer and get you some meat and try to lay that out, and it's done spoiled and gone bad. Everything's bad. That makes your heart stoop. It's bad for your heart. But a good word makes it glad. Gladdens your heart. Thank God for good words. Thank God for good reports. Chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When you hope for something and it doesn't work out, it makes your heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. It's like a breath of fresh air. When the desire comes, and when you get what you're looking for, and God brings your prayer, and He answers your prayer, it's just a Holy Ghost breeze that comes across you and it blesses your heart. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. When you tell somebody something, and they take that information that you tell them and they ruin you with it and they do bad with it, and you say, I knew it, I shouldn't have told him, I shouldn't have said nothing to him. If I just kept my cotton picking mouth shut, everything would be so much better. But what in the world am I going to do now? Because that wicked messenger has fallen into mischief. He's going to use your words against you. Be sure, Micah even said, keep the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. Don't tell everybody everything. One of our problems is we feel like we got something in our gut. We got to spill it. We got to tell everybody everything. It's going to be a bad thing if you do. Because most of the people that you tell, most of what you tell them is going to end up hitting you in the buhuckas. It's going to hurt you. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is help. When you have someone that's a faithful friend, you have someone that's faithful to the gospel, faithful to the pastor, faithful to the church, faithful to the cause of Christ, it brings health and healing everywhere you go. Chapter 14, verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. When your heart is sound, when it's healthy and good, even in your physical body, it brings healing and health and does you good all over. When your heart is sick, when you have coronary problems and disease, it's bad in your whole body. But your sound heart, when your heart is healthy and sound, it is the life of the flesh. But envy the rottenness of the bones. Envy. When you don't like her because of what she's got. And she does have one of them, these girls make fun of me for saying hoochie goochie pocketbooks. She does have a better pocketbook than you. And she does have a bigger house than you do. And she does have a finer car than you do. And you have this envy that comes up. And sometimes envy comes up in the church. People get to do things I don't. They have a ministry. They have this and they have that. Look, all of us have power as believers. Jesus said, if you don't have to have a title, go out and lay hands on the sick. Expect them to recover. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. A sound heart will do your life good, your flesh. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. It will give you spiritual as well as physical osteoporosis. Just bad on your bones all over. Amen. Chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And that's why Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. Because he knows there's so many in our world that has broken hearts. Amen. When you have a broken heart, you don't have to sit around singing, there's a tear in my beer for you, dear. When you have a broken heart, bring it to Jesus. He'll take the pieces of your broken heart and he'll put it all back together. He'll give you a merry heart, a happy heart. A merry heart makes a glad, a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. It seems like, now all of us have hardships, all of us have hard times, but it seems like some people, the devil knows he can just push their buttons, he knows he can just stay on them all the time and give them a hard time. They have affliction, just hardships all the time, and it says here, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Seems like from one thing to another, from one hardship to another, you get the shovel, and you try to kill a snake and he ends up biting you. The Bible talks about that. You go in the house and lean your hand on the wall and a snake bites you. All kind of things. It seemed like flat tires, broken washing machines, whiny youngins and grandkids. All kind of things happen. We have hardships in life. There's virus and there's pandemic and there's economic troubles and there's woes because they've forgotten you're supposed to have a border on the south and north end of the country. I don't know what in the world they think you're supposed to do. Just open it up to everybody in the world. Come on in, baby. Ring the doorbell and come on in. Don't matter. We'll hit you up in a 4-star hotel and set you up and give you all our money. Everybody can't have enough to go around. I know the Bible said take care of the poor, but it didn't mean let the country go to hell and the whole world come on in. All the days that afflicted. And people say, it seems like my temper just gets the best of me. I just have a bad time all the time. Things are not going my way. It's evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that hath, that is of a merry heart, hath a continual feast. God will bless you, your kingdom people. You're born again. You're not the afflicted. We have afflictions. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You're not the afflicted. You're the blessed of the Lord. You're not the tail, you're the head. You're not the low, you're the high. You're the servants of the Most High God. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You can have a continual feast. You can buffet your body every day. You can have a continual feast. Your heart will rejoice you. Verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. You say, boy, you look like you're gaining weight. No, I just got fat bones. God doesn't bless me. Fat bone, fat bone, fat bone. I just got fat bones. Good report makes the bones fat. You hear good news from a far country. You hear good news. There's good news. You have bad news. You turn that old tube on, you're going to get some bad news every time you turn it on. Do you know what that word of God does? It says the same thing now that it did before the pandemic. It says the same thing now that it did 20 years ago. You pick up that old Bible. You look at the Word of God. It says the same thing now as it did when the Apostle Paul wrote it. Amen. It's the same thing now as from John on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. It hasn't changed. It's still a good report. Amen. Isaiah said, who will believe our report? Those who want the good word of salvation will believe the report.
Amen.
Chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Wow. Your soul is the spiritual part of you. Your bones, the physical part of you. It just blesses you all over. The good words, pleasant words. Lord, help us to speak pleasant words.
Amen.
Help Tony not to respond to that TV all the time.
Amen.
Help Tony not to be so quick to speak piercing words, but help Tony to speak pleasant words. They're like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Chapter 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You don't want your bones to be dry. You want them to be happy. You want them to be fat. You want them to be blessed. And so that merry heart does your heart good like a medicine. It does you good. A merry heart does good like a medicine. You know what medicine is? You have to take it for it to benefit you. Whether it's your heart medicine, whether it's your blood pressure medicine, whatever it is, you have to take the medicine in order to be helped by it. And that's what the merry heart, the happy heart is. You say, well, I feel guilty if I have a happy heart and everybody else is around me sad. What you gonna do? You gonna go to hell because everybody else is? You can't do that. You got to be one who would lift some people up. You've got to be a merry heart. And God makes you happy. He blesses your soul. You have nothing to be guilty about. You have nothing to be put down or condemned about.
Amen.
James said, if any man's merry, let him sing psalms.
Amen.
Is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any sick, let him call for the elders.
Yes.
Somebody said, I got sick. Nobody from church called me. Now, the Lord brought that verse to my mind. Yeah, I know we're supposed to call people and check on them, but last time I checked in, the Lord said, if there are any sick among you, let him call.
Right.
Hello. The elders of church, let him call and let them pray over him. Don't get mad because somebody didn't call you because you were sick. You think we're supposed to have the gift of the word of knowledge so we'll know when everybody in the world gets sick. Ain't no way in the world nobody can know that. Except the Lord Jesus, and he's so busy trying to keep up with all this stuff, he don't even worry telling us all about that all the time. This merry heart does good like a medicine. Take your medicine. Take that merry heart. Don't let your spirit, broken spirit, dry your bones. 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Well, just let me tell you this one thing. Yeah, but that one thing comes 10 more behind it. The wounds of a talebearer, the words of a talebearer are like wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. The word of God is good for your navel, it's good for your belly. But that word that that talebearer has to say, the gossiper, it's bad for your bones, it's bad for your belly. It goes down into the innermost part of your belly and it'll make you sick. You're talking about stomach trouble. You'll give you some stomach trouble. There are people in this world who will give you stomach trouble. They'll give you diarrhea and everything else you let them. Lord have mercy. Tailbearer. Churches have them. People have them. Well, I just want you not tell nobody this. Yeah, they don't have to tell nobody because they told everybody. The tailbearer, the words, they're like wounds. They hurt people. They hurt new sheep. They hurt young Christians. They hurt old Christians too. They hurt everybody. Amen. But themselves. Right. They want to unload on you. Use you as a spiritual commode. That's what they're doing, just unloading on you. They might feel better, but they're killing everybody else in the process. And they never get satisfied. You find them 20 years later, if the Lord tarries, and they'll still be hanging around in the lobby doing the same thing. The words of a talebearer, wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? You can make it. As long as your spirit, and that's what happens to you when you're born again. Your spirit is right with God. Your spirit that was dead in sins and trespasses, He has brought alive and quickened, and you're alive in the spirit. And your spirit will sustain your infirmity. Even though you don't seem to be getting better physically, you will not lose heart. You will not lose faith. You will not give up because your spirit will help to sustain your infirmity. But your broken spirit, if the enemy can break you and get your spirit, Daniel said he wears out the saints of the Most High. That's what he wants to do. And that he's doing a pretty good or pretty bad, whichever way you want to look at it, pretty bad job of it right now, pretty good job of it, of wearing the saints out. And he keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. And it keeps the pandemic, the virus, the flu, all these things that are going on, and he keeps wearing out the saints. He's trying to destroy the world, and in the process, he's trying to wear out the saints. But he's not going to get the victory. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And the saints will take the kingdom of the Most High, God told Daniel, and they will rule it forever. Amen. The spirit of a man sustains his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And here's verse 21. Everybody knows this. Death and life and the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue has the power to speak death and life. You're not supposed to stick out your tongue. It's ugly to do that. But your tongue, that little member. Preacher said, I want y'all to come tonight. I want to reveal to the church the member who's causing all the trouble. And man, they said, I got to go. I got to find out who he's talking about. They thought he was talking about a person. He got there and they got there and the church was about full. He said, I'm here to reveal the member who's causing all the trouble. He said, I know you're not supposed to do this. And he stuck out his tongue. He said, that's the member that's causing all the trouble. Amen. James said it would. He said it would be the member among the body, the members that defiles the whole body. Yes. That's what that old tongue will do. There's power in the tongue. It has power of death. It can kill. It also has the power of life, and it can heal. Amen. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So if your belly's in bad shape today, let God use your spirit. Let God use His spirit. But it's not really talking about His spirit. It's talking about your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He will use your spirit. That is, with His spirit being born again. If you are born again, like I said before, I hope the Lord lets me live to talk some more about being born again. I know you're already born again. We are, but we'll spend the whole rest of our lifetime just finding out what happened to us. It's still untouched and untold yet. But this born-again spirit that you are now, you are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And that spirit is a candle of the Lord. And He uses it to search all the inward parts of the belly. And He lets you know how things are. Something not right, He'll help you fix it up. Chapter 26, verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You said, boy, I thought that was already said. It is. It must be important. God wanted us to know about it. He said it again. How many times did Jesus say, "Let not your heart be troubled, don't be afraid"? Because he knows as humans that we have to hear it more than one time.
Amen.
God can heal cancer. He can heal a boil. He hears the prayer of faith when an elder's anointed with oil. So whether it is one or in a healing line, Jesus is the healer, and that is quite sublime. God wants to heal and doesn't care whether we command or claim or pray, but much of our healing comes by simply reading and heeding God's word each day.
Amen.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that we have been in church today.
Amen.
I thank you that you've given us a body. I thank you that you've given us a soul. I thank you that you've given us a spirit. Lord, I thank you for the head. I thank you for the head that contains one of the greatest things that Dr. Yeoman said in her book, that she saw the human brain being a young woman in medical school. Not a believer, but it stuck with her the rest of her life. And when she came to you as Savior and Lord and was used of you to heal many people, she never got over seeing the human brain, all the intricacies and all the cells and all the things. Lord, you've given us eyes, you've given us ears, you've given us a nose, you've given us a mouth, lips to speak good things, you've given us a face. You don't want us to have to cover it up all the time. One of the things that we go through, Lord, is this face covering. You don't know who people are. You can't see the facial expressions, and you can't see people's face. Thank you that every face is different. You've given us a face that resembles who we are. You've given us a neck. You've given us a chest. You've given us a heart. You've given us a belly, the navels, legs. You've given us all of our body parts. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, we thank you today that you minister to the whole person, to all of us, all over. And I pray today that you would wash us in your word, that you would heal our bodies, touch us in our spirits, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.
This has been a message from the book of Proverbs entitled Sickness and Health in Proverbs. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, Lord, and Healer today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.